You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. You know that sound. It's 8 o'clock and we're going out into our outdoor living hour. It's the second hour of Rosie on the House. And we have Mr. Greg Peterson. It is the...
Thank you. I am lit up today.
Woo-hoo. The weather does that.
Oh, let me tell you. It's, you know, the... I've got peaches setting that are about the size of marbles, and the apricots are coming, and the apples are coming in, and so you know the garden's bursting all over the place.
Should I be worried that I don't have any leaf produce on much of my peach trees right now?
No, actually, this has been a really interesting... That's a great question. This has been a very interesting year for that. I have two apricots in my front yard that haven't budded out yet.
Okay.
So, and they're alive. We're just, you know, they're, you know, who knows? They're just confused. Hey, it's going to be, what, 68 degrees next week or something crazy like that? So,
up
and
down.
90 at the same, you know.
Yeah, I've had to work really hard to stop breaking branches off the peach tree just to see...
If it's still there?
Right.
Yeah. Well, so the way you do that, I actually wouldn't break it. It's better to cut it. So if you can just, you know, if you have a tree and you don't know whether it's alive, best thing to do is start at the very tip ends and take a pair of pruners and just cut 2 inches off. And you want to be right next to the node. A node is the little lump on a limb where the leaves come out of, fruit and leaves and flowers and all that come out of the node. So if you just cut right above a node, you're looking for green rather than brown. So if you find green, then you're done cutting. If you find brown, you want to cut another 2 inches. And so you keep cutting until you find green.
Or you down to the stump and you're trying to plant.
Right. It's time to replace that tree.
Well, I kind of sidebarred you there talking about, you know, your peaches budding out. And what I love about it more than anything, aside from eating peaches, I love just my peach trees right out the bathroom window.
Oh, yes.
I love getting out of the shower in the morning and seeing the sun come up and this beautiful peach tree in bloom. It only lasts about a month, but man, I look forward to that every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just out in my front yard today and I have a peach tree that's one that's budded out completely and it's got peaches on it, one that's just flowering now. And this tree had two different colors of pink, you know, a light pink and a dark, almost red flower on it. So you never quite know. It's, you know, nature is a cool thing.
And this hour, we're going to be talking about working with nature in this perfect time of year to jumpstart the spring garden.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, I do a lot of lectures this time of year. That's called Jumpstart Your Spring Garden. I'm going to be speaking to the Wounded Warrior Project here in the next week. So if you're interested, and that's an online class, if you want to attend that class, you can go to our website, urbanfarm.org, and find the link and reach out to Lindy, and she'll get you signed up for that. I'm also going to be at Changing Hands giving the same talk called Jumpstart Your Spring Garden. And there's some really specific things that you need to do when you set out on an adventure of growing a garden. And really, the first thing is observation. You really need to start paying attention to what's happening in your space. Because if you put your garden in the wrong place in your yard because you didn't observe where the sun was at, we'll talk about that in a little while, you know, you may never get any garden growing because your garden's in the shade all the time. Or if you're in a more desert area and you put a garden in and there's quail and rabbits and squirrels around, you know, you need to pay attention for those. So you have the pests and the weather and the sun. And there's all different things to pay attention to. In fact, what I tell people to do is spend at least a year observing your yard before you make any major changes. Major changes is like putting a new building in or taking major trees out or anything like that. Putting in a garden is not a major change. But you really want to spend some significant time observing what's going on every month in your yard so that you know what to expect. And one of the most fun pests in my yard is my dog.
I thought you'd say your neighbor.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, you know, the dog, I used to have a black lab, and she used to go out and eat the snow peas and dig up the radishes just like that. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that you really need to pay attention to.
And a full year of observation. Are you trying to make points to go out at different times of the day?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and observe where the sun's at. Watch where the sun's at any given noontime. Because, you know, when the sun moves in the sky, right?
13 degrees.
Careful. Does it really?
Like from,
I know, right?
From winter to summer, isn't it a 13 degree
difference? Well, it probably is 13 degrees, yes, but it's the earth that's moving. It was a science question.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, the sun is moving too, and we're moving around the sun.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. But pay attention, especially on, you know, the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the spring equinox, and the fall equinox. We're basically at the fall equinox, which is the spring equinox, which is the halfway point between the lowest the sun's going to be in the sky and the highest.
So we're right at the midpoint in our spring. And we're at not only great weather for planting, but it's just enjoyable physically to be out in this wonderful spring air. We're doing our observations. We're taking note of our equinox. We're going out multiple times a day. Microclimates.
All of a sudden. Sorry about that. Yeah, doing your observation. Then the next piece is to really pay attention to what we talked about, the sun, but pay attention to where it's at. We have what I call four exposures in our yard. There's a northern exposure, a southern exposure, an eastern exposure, and a western exposure. And if you were to place your garden, jumping into that northern exposure, that's the north side of a building or a north side of a wall. So pretty much what that looks like is if you put your back against that building or wall, what direction would you be looking? And a northern exposure, you would be looking north. And so that's an area of your yard that's not going to get very much sun at all. And it's not a really great growing space. So what I tell people to do with that is two things. On December 21st, go out and notice where the sun is at noon and how long the shadow is, and put your garden outside that shadow. Or you can put your chickens over there. The chickens would love it in the summertime. Now your composting goes there, any storage goes there. So you can utilize that space for something other than gardening.
Oh. And in that thought process and timing, you know, take into account your neighbor's trees. What's on the other side of the fence? What's
exactly.
That going to look like in 5 years?
Exactly. Thanks for saying that, because you know I've lived at the urban farm now for almost 29 years. It's over half of my life. I know. Romy just said, wow. Yeah, exactly, right? And about 10 years ago, I had a challenge at the urban farm. And one day I was walking the neighborhood and I saw the fix for it in somebody else's yard. It's like, oh, yeah, that's how I can fix that. And so you're not just observing your space. You're observing the spaces around you as well to see what solutions that they can offer. So,
well, I'm really curious about this solution. You didn't dive into it, so maybe it's something we'll save for off air.
No. So I needed shade on the driveway, and I kept, and there's no place really that was easy to plant the shade, but one of my neighbors had an older mesquite tree that they'd planted strategically in a place that I'd never thought about planting it. So really that was, you know, it was a simple thing. And that's the thing. When you go out and observe, there's simple things like that that we need to observe for that are solutions for a lot of, you know, things that we don't have to do a lot of work with.
There's a lot to be said for not jumping in and just trying to get this solved right here, right now, right this minute.
Right.
Slowing down, thinking through it, finding a way to,
yes,
you know, and especially if you're going to be in someplace 29 years.
Yeah.
You know, have that long-term perspective of, you know, if it takes me 2 years to solve it, I've still got it.
Exactly.
You know, 26 years that I've been here.
Right. So then there's a western exposure. And this is the reason, actually, about 15 years ago, that I developed this attitude of don't do anything major on your property for at least a year. So the house across the street sold about 15 years ago. And their front yard faces west, so they get a brunt of the sun from noon until sundown. This is a western exposure. Western exposures are, get sun from noon till sundown. And the new neighbors, within a week, had chainsaws in their front yard, and they were cutting down these beautiful 70-year-old grapefruit trees. They hadn't been in the space long enough to know what the impact of that was going to be. And it took
about $500 more on their cooling bill in the summer,
exactly,
I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly. They hadn't paid attention to that. So really pay attention, especially if it's a western exposure. Western exposure is the hottest part of your yard. I call it the fry zone.
It's, yes.
You know, it's the place where you're going to cook your garden if you place a garden there.
The fry zone.
Yeah.
Now, that's west, not south, west.
That's correct. That okay. is a western exposure.
Do we want to cover south at all real quick before we?
Well, I got a lot more to say about west before
we
go.
All right, well then, we'll cut early then, because we're about 90 seconds away from break. We'll start early. We'll cut early and have more next segment.
Up to you.
The Outdoor Living Hour with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House.